The Philadelphia Church of God presents The Life and Teachings of Jesus Christ with Stephen Fleury.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to The Life and Teachings of Jesus Christ. On this program, we carefully examine the only reliable source for Jesus Christ, His life, and His teachings, and that would be the Holy Bible. Last week on this program, we talked about Jesus Christ and how He is the only way. We have to go in the direction of Christ, follow His steps. We took you through John 14. We might go there a little bit later, where Jesus said, I am the way, I'm the truth, I am the life. So we have to look to Christ. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2 brings this out. Look to that example. There's a lot of people in the world today, the world of traditional Christianity even, that talk about Christ, that mention Christ frequently. But are they living the way Jesus did? I mean, that's what a true Christian does. A Christian is a follower of Christ, as we've covered before. This is from my father's book, The Last Hour. We're going to be spotlighting this book on today's show. Everything we offer on this program is offered without cost or obligation. The Last Hour, it says here, The Epistles of John, a prophecy for our day. And John had a lot to say about Jesus Christ. He wrote the Gospel of John, and he talked at the start of the first epistle about how I've been with Christ. You know, I touched Him. I spent time with Him. I saw Him. I heard Him. It left an impact on John's life. My father says in The Last Hour, if we have inappropriate thoughts or attitudes toward God's government or toward a decision that's been made, we must know the Spirit. And he's commenting here on a section of Scripture from John's epistle, the first one, 1 John 4 in this case. But it says here, when we watch television or go to a movie or watch sports, we must know the Spirit. We must think as if Christ is sitting right there with us. In other words, if we're watching this, we think, would Jesus watch this? Or if we're doing this, we have to think, would Jesus Christ, would He support this action, this behavior, this attitude, this mindset? I mean, that's a high standard. And yet that's what God expects. And you see this all through the Scriptures. It says when single people date, they must date with Christ living in them, as if He were doing the dating. And then finally, I want to draw attention to this statement. It says, is Jesus Christ really coming in the flesh through you? Here again, go and read 1 John 4, the first few verses on your own time. Study your Bible. Get to know Jesus Christ. That's the only reliable source, as I said at the top. Get to know Christ. It says, in everything you do, if so, if Christ is involved in everything you do, it says, then He revolutionizes your life. Think about the Apostle Paul. Here he was persecuting true Christians, and he was doing it with fanatical zeal. He was on his way to Damascus to persecute more of them. And of course, everybody's familiar with the fact that God struck him down and struck him blind for 3 days and said, why are you fighting me? And Paul said, I didn't know I was fighting you. I thought I was doing you a service. He was going the opposite way of God. And God struck him down and showed him that, no, you've got to turn around and go the other way. Whether it's Paul or Jesus Christ or pick your personality in the New Testament, none of them ever said to their congregants, hey, just show up. Just come as you are. Just talk about Jesus. And that's enough. Christ did everything else for you. That is not scriptural. That is not in the Bible. Christ died for us. Before that, He set us an example. The way, as I covered last week. And he said, follow in this way. We have to give up our former way of life. That's how Herbert Armstrong was converted to the truth. And he saw at the end of a six-month night and day study, he talks about this in Mystery of the Ages and the autobiography of Herbert Armstrong, but he spoke in his writings about this miraculous transformation. And he realized at the end of this six-month night and day study that he was going to have to give up the world. He was going to have to give up his pursuit, his vain pursuit of prestige and power and money. He was going to have to give up certain associates and colleagues, because he started to believe and teach something that's very different from what you hear in the world of traditional Christianity. Following Christ revolutionizes your life. Have you been revolutionized by the teachings, by the example of Jesus Christ? We have orientation as other institutions have. We have it every year at the start of our college classes here at Armstrong College. And if you think about what orientation means, or orient, it means to set right by adjusting to facts or principles, and also to acquaint with the existing situation or environment. As we tell our students, all right, you're coming into this environment, you're now in training, this is like a spiritual West Point, this is what we expect, here's your handbook, these are the rules, these are the guidelines, if you don't want it, you can walk out the door today. And in so many ways, that's what God says to the new Christian, the new convert, the prospective member. He says, here are the guidelines. The Bible is your instruction manual. You're meant to follow these commands. You're meant to follow the example. And happy for you, Jesus demonstrated how to do it. Jesus lived it. Jesus obeyed God perfectly. Jesus was a commandment keeper. Jesus was a Sabbath keeper. Jesus observed the annual holy days discussed in the Old Testament, Leviticus, Deuteronomy. Yes, he did. We need to orient our lives around his life. And of course, he lives. He was on this earth in flesh and blood for 33 years, but after 3 days and three nights, yes, a full 3 days and a full three nights, God resurrected him from the dead. Romans 1 and verse 4. And at that moment, he became a born son of God. God is a family. It's a father-son relationship, and Jesus is a firstborn among many brethren or brothers and sisters. God's family is about to explode with growth. That's the truth of the Bible. I'll just repeat what we covered recently. John 14, verse 6, Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. You have to go through Christ to the Father, the head of the family. The family, as I've been covering recently on another program, the family is the foundational bulwark of any stable, long-lasting society. And the reason why we're right at the end of our rope in our nations is because the family has completely broken down. It's totally dysfunctional. You can study more on that in our booklet, Redefining Family. But look at what Satan has done to family living, to marriage, to child rearing. Last week we offered the Why Marriage booklet and our child rearing booklet. And this is information, this is instruction, this is teaching, all based on the Bible, that people today don't apply, they don't listen to it, they don't want it. They don't want God. They don't want to orient their marriage or their family around God. They want to do it their way. And that's why it's not working, in case you haven't noticed. That's why there's rampant divorce. That's why there's so much juvenile delinquency. That's why there's so much unhappiness. That's why there's so much violence, even within families. Paul said in 2 Timothy 3 that even natural affection, what you would expect to be natural, like in the family sphere, even that's out the window. Read 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5. Read Galatians 5, verses 19 to 21. There's so many other passages about the sins of our time. And God says, if you're living this way, you won't be in the kingdom of God. That's pretty strong. I mean, those are big statements. 1 Corinthians 6, 9 and 10, same thing. Come as you are. Don't worry about changing anything. Just call him Lord, Lord, and everything's taken care of. No, actually, Jesus said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, but you don't do what I say? You're not following my example. We'll come to that passage in a second. But just to come back to this, verse 7 says, if you had known me, you should have known my Father, and from henceforth you know him and have seen him. If you know me, you see, you'll know the Father. Jesus Christ followed God, God the Father. He looked to his Father. He oriented his whole ministry and life around God the Father. He strove to please God in everything. John 8 and verse 29. And then he says, now you follow me. Follow my steps. That passage I alluded to, Luke 6, this is verse 46. It says, and why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? And you see this all through the Gospels. You know, Jesus attracting large crowds of people, people that would even, you know, call him Lord, Lord, and seemingly worship him. But he said to them, you know, why do you call me this, but you don't do what I say? You're deceiving yourselves. That's what James 1 and verse 22 says. If you hear only and you don't do, you're just under self-deception. You can look at some of the most hardened, cruel Roman generals and leaders there were of Paul's day, Felix, Festus, Agrippa. And all of them sat down and listened to Paul. They wanted to hear his story and his case and why he had been incarcerated. And Paul explained the work that he had been doing. And those three individuals in particular, they rather liked the message. I think it was Felix who said, you're about to make me a Christian. I mean, he liked it. But he didn't want to live it. Felix trembled. It jolted him, the message that Paul brought, but it didn't change his life. He didn't change his way of living. And so whatever came of Felix, well, he just died like so many do in this world today, in these 6,000 years. They live and die without ever knowing or receiving or applying the truth of God. Now they'll have a time later in the second resurrection. That's the beauty of God's purpose and plan. There is hope, even for those that have died in ignorance. There's hope for everyone. For Jews, Christians, Muslims, Buddhists, atheists. You can read about that master plan in Mystery of the Ages. God, in his mercy, in his love, he's laid out a 7,000-year plan during which most of humanity that has lived these past 6,000 years will be saved and born into God's kingdom. Some obviously won't be, but this is a plan that God laid out because he loves mankind. He loves humanity. He loves this world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. John 3:16, most people are familiar with that verse. They water it down. I mean, you get to the depth of that verse, it's profound. But here in Luke 6, verse 47, it says, whosoever comes to me and hears my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He's like a man which built an house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood rose, the stream beat vehemently upon the house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. We've got to build our house. Isn't it amazing? He uses, in this example, this analogy, he uses a house. A household is what a family dwells in. And it needs a solid foundation. You've got to build the house on a godly foundation. The Psalms say, unless the Lord builds the house, the weary laborers, they're laboring in vain. God has to do it through us, or else it's of man. And it's of, if it's of man, it's just going to come tumbling down, as the next verse brings out. But he that heareth and do not is like a man that without a foundation built a house upon the earth, against which the stream beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. And that's about what's to happen to our society. Because right now, I mean, it may look impressive on the outside, but it's like looking at this gorgeous mansion that has no foundation. And as soon as the storm hits, and it's a perfect storm, Matthew 24 brings this out, the Olivet prophecy. Christ tells us all that's going to happen just before he returns to this earth. And the world's going to be caught completely unawares. Will you be surprised by it? You shouldn't be. I mean, if you're listening to this program, you don't have to be. But most are going to be shocked. It's going to come suddenly because we've been blinded by the God of this world. 2 Corinthians 4. We're not expecting what's coming. Christ tried to prepare his disciples for what's coming in our day. Psalm 111 and verse 10 says, "The fear of the eternal is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments." The understanding is not going to come unless you're willing to surrender to God and to start practicing what Jesus preached, the life and the teachings of Jesus Christ. We have to put the instructions of this God-inspired book into practice. That's why God revealed it and inspired authors to write it. And that's why God preserved it. It's for our benefit. It's for our learning, like Paul said in 1 Corinthians 10. Notice 1 Peter 2. I think I hit on one of these verses in a previous episode. But we'll just get a little more context. Fear God, as we just read. Keep his commandments, and then you'll understand. You'll begin to understand the depth and the riches of all that God is offering us. Here in 1 Peter 2, verse 17, it says, "Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God." Here again, this is New Testament teaching. Fear God, honor the king. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. Don't just willingly support those you like or, you know, that are good and gentle. But what if you have a supervisor or a boss or a minister that, you know, has to intervene and correct you and correct your ways? In case you haven't noticed, you look around society and see how resistant the typical individual is to correction, to instruction, to reproof. And yet, that's what the Bible's so profitable for. And Paul brings that out in 2 Timothy. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. And then if you keep reading, it says it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction. When you're studying your Bible the right way, and most people don't, they're not corrected by it. They won't change their behavior because of it. But if your attitude is right and you're surrendered to God, you read and study the Bible and you're corrected. And to be corrected means you're correcting course. You're making changes. You're overcoming. You're repenting. I mean, that's the very beginning steps of becoming a true Christian. Receiving that correction and responding to it. Verse 19, it says, "For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully." If you endure through the punishment, and we generally deserve it, then good things will happen. I mean, it even talks here about enduring through it when you don't deserve it. Verse 21, this is the memory verse here. It says, "For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow in his steps." We've been called, you see, to follow in the steps of Christ. The life of a true Christian, it's not about establishing your own standard, your own traditions. It's about following the perfect standard, the perfect standard that is Jesus Christ, his life, his teachings, until we become a perfect man. Ephesians 5:13, Matthew 5:48. So verse 22 continues, it says, who did no sin, Jesus did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, he reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but he committed himself to him that judges righteously. Those are strong words in the Greek. He committed himself to him that judges righteously. Christ endured agony, persecution, persecutors who wanted to stone him and kill him, and eventually they did crucify him. How did he get through all of that? How did he deny himself and lift up his cross? As agonizing as that was, as excruciating as it was, I mean, his appearance was marred to the point, Isaiah 52 brings this out, to where people couldn't even recognize him. How did he do it? Well, he committed himself to God and his purpose and plan. There's an article back in the Royal Vision from a couple years ago, and you can subscribe to this, by the way, Royal Vision. This is mostly for our church members and co-workers, but we offer it on TV from time to time. There's just more Christian living, spiritually oriented messages. The Trumpet magazine, and here's the latest issue of that, what we've had to say about Germany. Decades of warnings about Germany, and it's been spot on. I mean, tomorrow's news today. But this opens your mind to understand the sure word of Bible prophecy. Both of these magazines, you can get a one-year subscription at no cost or obligation. And don't forget, as you order literature, to request The Last Hour, this book about those epistles of John, 1 John, 2 John, and 3 John. Notice verse 25, we're still here in 1 Peter 2. It says, for you were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. The Greek word for bishop means overseer. It's talking about a man charged with a duty of seeing that things be done by others the right way. That's why God's government is there. You can read about that in Ephesians 4 or 1 Corinthians 12. It's to help us go the way of God, the way of Christ, in the steps of Christ. We were going astray beforehand. God, as I say, Christ doesn't say, come to me as you are and everything's taken care of. He says, you were lost. You were aliens. You were going astray. This is the language of the Bible. This is the language of the New Testament. But now you're coming underneath the direction of the chief shepherd. And will you submit to that lead? Will you surrender to that shepherd? That's what a true Christian is charged to do. Notice 1 Corinthians chapter 10. This is Paul's letter to the brethren at Corinth. And it says here right at the end of chapter 10, give none offense, verse 32, neither to the Jews nor to the Gentiles nor to the church of God, even as I please all men in all things, verse 33, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. You see, Paul, the Apostle Paul, he put God first above everyone else, above everything else. He learned to live like God unselfishly. I mean, what a testimony. What a transformation, given what he was on his way to Damascus to do. But now he was all things to all people, and he sacrificed all to try to save some, to get them on track, to get them looking to Christ. There shouldn't be a chapter break here, because the very first verse in chapter 11, the breaks are added by translators, but verse 1 of chapter 11 says, be you followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Following means to imitate or to mimic. It doesn't mean to just talk about Jesus. It doesn't mean to just say his name over and over and over without changing anything, without coming out of this world, without forsaking the ways of this world. Imitate Christ. Look to Jesus Christ. Romans 15 and verse 3. It says that Christ gave no thought to his own interests to please himself. That's in the Amplified Version. His life, his ministry was not about pleasing himself. If it was, I mean, before the crucifixion, instead of conducting that last Passover with the disciples and then praying all night at the Garden of Gethsemane, he probably would have taken off by night to Jericho or to Jordan or Petra. I don't want to go through this. I mean, he prayed that at Gethsemane. I don't want to have to go through this, but nevertheless, not my will, but the Father's will be done. Your will be done. We'll get into that at a later time. But he was totally surrendered to God's will. He had oriented his life around the Father. And that's how he was able to claim the greatest victory in the history of the universe. Those are the steps we follow in. That's the perfect example that true Christians always look to. Don't forget about the free literature, the Last Hour book, and both of our magazine publications. That's all we have time for on today's show. We appreciate you joining us on this episode of The Life and Teachings of Christ. We'll see you again next time.
The world around us is rife with time wasters and distractions. In day-to-day life, we can easily forget about the God who made us, thinking that he doesn't really care what we do. But the truth is, God the Father and Jesus Christ live to help us. God is real. He has existed for all eternity without beginning, and he wants a close relationship with you. Request Gerald Fleury's free book, The Last Hour, to prove that Christ's mission didn't end with crucifixion. Understand how Christ's active role as our advocate allows us to pray to God with boldness. Prove that Christ is also our intercessor, clearing a path for us to enter God's throne room. Discover how following in Jesus Christ's steps and allowing him to live in you will transform your life. If you put God first, you will receive the power, hope, and vision to achieve greatness. All our literature is available free of charge at no cost or obligation to you. Request our free booklet, The Last Hour. Order now.